What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. This is how St. Mark begins to tell us both about how Jesus became so popular so quickly and of how the course of his public career careened to the dramatic climax of confrontation, crucifixion, and ultimately his resurrection. At once, his fame began to spread throughout the region surrounding Galilee. Fame, a fickle thing. Beware. Sometimes a funny thing, too. Enrico Caruso, the world-famous operatic tenor, was driving through the Wisconsin countryside while on a concert tour when he realized that he was well lost. He stopped at a farmhouse for directions and a drink of water and became friendly with the farmer. And the great singer was invited to stay for the midday meal that was then being put on the table. As he was preparing to leave after a fine meal, Caruso thought it would please the kindly old farmer and his wife to know that they had entertained so celebrated a personality, so he told them his name. The farmer was wide-eyed with amazement. "This is a great thing. Who would have thought that I would have as a guest that great explorer Robinson Crusoe?" Amazing. What is this, Robinson Crusoe? But here is Jesus, not charming his hearers, not playing Bible trivia with them. No, he's amazing them, truly amazing them. Actually, that's a poor translation. Mark says more specifically, they were all alarmed. Alarmed. Imagine that. Jesus. Alarming. Frightening. Scary, even. Alarming? What's to be alarmed about? What's so scary about a kid made good from Nazareth, walking around with 12 clueless friends, showing up at a synagogue one Saturday morning, which happens every Saturday morning? Funny? Yes. Alarming? Not so much. I'll tell you what I think. I think they're scared out of their wits in that synagogue because both what Jesus said that morning and what he did that morning colluded in such a way as to create both an encounter with the demonic and with the divine and thrust upon them a choice. What is this? Who is this? Even the demons obey his commands. Either he must be of the devil, or worse, the devil himself, or he must be God. For only God can expel evil. Only God can exorcise the evil one and restore to soundness, healing, wholeness, salvation. Do you think this sounds positively antique, medieval, crazy, alarming, perhaps? Does Jesus alarm you? Ever? Most Episcopalians, I think, come to church. This is my cynical side sometimes sticking out. Most Episcopalians come to church, I think, thinking of a rather vague God who somehow, nevertheless, is helpful or comforting or useful to some extent, or maybe mysterious or calming, grandfatherly, benign. Some come, I guess, to church to text Jim Holbrook or Daisy Archie or settle out their portfolio or correct their checkbook or make Super Bowl plans, but somehow or another we come to church for a multitude of reasons. But do you ever enter the church of St. Michael and St. George, thinking Jesus may be in church too. And he just may expose your demons to you. Might confront, not comfort you. Not calm you, but alarm you. Scare the devil out of you. I have to tell you, I really don't like being scared or alarmed about anything. Noises in the night, rattling, shaking windows, and beds moving all over the place like last summer. Robin and I know a fellow in Houston, where we're both from, you know that, who has a sideline business every Halloween. It's a haunted house, a booming, lucrative, cash-only business. A booming business, it must be, to scare people, because for 5 weeks, 35 days straight, it's shoulder to shoulder, back to chest, packed with hordes and crowds, paying big bucks to be scared. Ghosts, ghouls, headless, bloody, stumpy creatures, frightful noises, screaming, alarming, jolting figures jumping out of the dark. Snakes! I'm terrified of snakes. We get free tickets. I dread it. Folks, I'm in my 50s. I know it's a sham. I know it's fake blood and phony scars and kids dressed in costumes just making a dollar. And every time I've been suckered inside phobia, all my phobias indeed come out. I admit it. I'm scared. I walk through with my eyes closed 3/4 of the time. My breathing accelerates, my muscles twitch and convulse, and when one of those kids jumps out at me, my language coarsens. I even have to push Robin ahead of myself and hold on to her and run for dear life. Well, that was the last time we both went. She refused to go after that. And I would never, ever, ever go by myself. And all of it is a mockery. Or is it? I'm not so sure. What we nervously, twitchily, even sometimes laughingly encounter as the exterior grotesque may in some interior way be our latent demons, our suppressed darknesses, our spiritual phobias. And for those, fun houses are not the place to go. No, church is. The house of God is, where Jesus is, where he both wounds and heals, exposes and expiates, alarms first, then calms, exorcises, then indwells. Do you doubt me about that, coming to church with this kind of a Messiah? Right down here on this front pew, little Isaac Eastman is going to be baptized. Isaac Easton Patterson, in just a moment, is going to be baptized. His parents have him all dressed up. They've got grandparents here and godparents here and family members here. It's going to be lovely. But something more is going on. Just as an exercise of remembrance of what the Book of Common Prayer feels like and looks like and reads like, pick up one in the pew in front of you. That's where they are, right in front of you. I know you don't have to touch those very often, but pick up one, page 302. Page 302. There in the middle of the page, celebrant, standing in the place of Christ, really, We'll ask the following questions of the candidates and who can speak for themselves, or parents and godparents who speak on behalf of infants and younger children. In the middle of the page, the celebrant in place of Christ. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? I renounce them. Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? I renounce them. Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey Him as your Savior? I do, I do, I do. It's an exorcism. I renounce. I renounce. I renounce. All my life I continue to renounce. And He continues to indwell and come and revisit and be with us. It's an exorcism, baptism is, partly. Turn to not only that, not only is baptism, but the Eucharist is an exorcism. Every confession of sin and sinfulness is, and every absolution acknowledges that. And so is Holy Unction an exorcism. Turn one more place, that is to page 455. Page 455 in your prayer book. And there, once again, in the middle of the page, at a point in the liturgy, oil, which is used for the anointing. Jesus sent out His disciples to continue His ministry of healing and casting out demons, casting out evil. And that's what the sacraments do. The sacraments enact the ministry of Christ in our time. And in the sacrament of anointing and laying on of hands, the priest prays, O Lord, Holy Father, giver of health and salvation, send your Holy Spirit to sanctify this oil, that as your holy apostles anointed many that were sick and healed them, so may those who in faith and repentance receive this holy unction be made whole through Jesus Christ. Savior of the world, by your cross and precious blood you have redeemed us. Save us. Help us. We humbly beseech you, O Lord. Turn the page to one paragraph at the top and in the middle. And then I and Father Andrew and other priests, what we have done many, many, many a night on Wednesday evenings at 5:30 in St. Mary's Chapel, or in the hospital, or in a home, or any place, any time it is requested and asked for, is to meet with those who desire unction for healing. Say, Mike, I lay my hands upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, beseeching our Lord Jesus Christ to sustain you with His presence, to drive away, to exorcise all sickness, body and spirit, and to give you that victory of life and peace which will enable you to serve Him both now and evermore. Middle of the page, as you were outwardly anointed with this holy oil, so may our Heavenly Father grant you the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. Of His great mercy, may He forgive you your sins, release you from suffering, and restore you to wholeness and strength. May He deliver you from all evil, preserve you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It sounds almost like the synagogue service in Capernaum. On purpose. And do you know what just amazes me? Sometimes, and maybe even often, I see people rise up. I see young babies grow up to be teenagers and follow Christ instead of follow the crowd. I see people grow up one more inch into the full stature of Christ, begin to live in newness of life, begin to live a new life of trust in God, of faith in Christ the Savior and Messiah. Sometimes find sobriety, find their anxieties vanquished, their fears reduced, chastity reclaimed, faithfulness made anew, wholeness, healing, sanity, in a strange and dark situation. rebuked often, and sitting, standing, walking about, living in their right mind, and praising God for it. Just amazed I am, and sometimes alarmed. I hope this Jesus shows up today. Amen.